The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Lydia Elcoury.
And I'm Ian Pritchard.
So we're delighted to be joined by Bethan from St Albans Library today. She's going to tell us all about the wonderful work that that they do there. And I'm spoiler alert, they do so many activities that I had no idea about. So stay tuned, listen in, and we'll talk to Bethan in just a second. Hi, Bethan. Thanks a million for joining us on The Parents Show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So tell us about your role at St Albans Library.
Yes, so I'm what's called a library assistant, and no 2 days are ever the same. We're very, very busy shelving and tidying our books. We also spend a lot of time making interesting posters, displays, and we also work on some social media content. And one of the most popular things we do is to run clubs and events for all age groups at the library.
Fantastic. And so, Bethan, say a little bit about how busy it gets at the library, because I imagine that a lot of people these days, they're at home, they've got their tablets, they've got their phones, they don't need to go to the library, perhaps they don't even have a book in the house. So do you see a lot of people coming through the library, or is it just one or two?
You'd be surprised. We're actually one of the busiest libraries in Hertfordshire. I would say on an average day, we would get about 500 to 600 people coming in through our doors.
500 to 600, that is a lot. And those are all sorts of age groups, or is it mainly kids or mainly mums looking for shelter from the rain?
It's every age group. We've seen newborn babies all the way up through to the elderly. We do get a lot of children at St Albans. We're very, very popular. We have a lovely children's section in our library. Lots of mums, new parents, new families. A lot of teenagers as well, they like to come in and use our spaces and our PCs to study and prepare for exams. So we're very, very busy.
And how big is it actually, the library there in terms of size? Is it how many people can you get in?
Quite a lot, I'd imagine. We're pretty spacious, but we're all based on one level, so it makes it nice and easy to access all the materials you need. We've got a nice big children's section at the back. We've got a little space just for teenagers to sit and hang out. Plenty of computers if you need to access PCs, printing, photocopying, and a very, very cool creator space as well.
Lovely, lovely.
Oh, you've just piqued my interest, Bethan. What's a creator space?
So a creator space is a very special room that only a select few libraries have across Hertfordshire, and we are very lucky to have one in St Albans. The creator space is full of high-tech technology. So one of
Like what? Go on then, Bethan.
My favourite thing is our 3D printer.
Oh.
It's very, very cool. You can make lots of exciting things. Children absolutely love to use a 3D printer. We've seen lots of figurines, if anybody knows of Minecraft. Mm-hmm. Minecraft is still very popular with the children. They love to come in and print stuff from that. But we also have some more creative things as well, like a digital embroidery machine, a sewing machine. And we also have some recording equipment. So very similar to what we're in today. We've got audio recording, we have video recording, we have a green screen as well. So there's so much that people can do in our creative space.
Bethan, I can't let you go without saying a bit more about digital printer, because there may be loads of people out there who've got one in their own home for all I know, but I don't know what a 3D printer actually is.
So to sum it up, a 3D printer is essentially a way that you can make things just out of a special type of plastic. So it's a special filament that goes into a big machine. It heats up super, super hot very quickly and then prints in lots and lots of very thin layers. And you can pretty much make whatever your heart desires.
Wow.
Our 3D printer is a pretty good specification. We can usually print something pretty decent size in about 2 to 3 hours. So lots of people like to come in. They can make gifts for friends and family members. They can make toys. We had some people come in and make a chess set as well. So there's loads of different things you can do.
That's
very cool.
Absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Did you, Ian?
No, not really.
That is superb.
It's like a little library secret. So many people don't realise
and
have it.
Do people have to pay for the things that you make, or how does it work?
You do, yes. So we offer what's called a taster session, where it's 90 minutes one-on-one with a trained member of staff, and they'll show you exactly how to use the machines and all of the relevant software. And once you've done that, you can hire it for a small cost. We try to keep our prices as low as possible to make sure it's accessible for all members of the community. 3D printers are very, very expensive.
I'm sure they are.
So ours is worth a lot of money and we want people to come in and use it and enjoy it. So we try to keep our costs as low as we can.
That's fantastic.
It's absolutely brilliant. And I think you'll probably be getting even more traffic after this, after this show. So tell us, Bethan, what role do you think your library or our library plays in our community?
Yeah, libraries are so important for communities. We are known as safe spaces, warm spaces as well, particularly now during the cold winter months. If you need to leave the house and you need to go and do something or socialise, libraries are the best place to come. As I mentioned, we get people from all age groups, young babies all the way up to the elderly. One of our popular groups is called Baby Rhyme Time on a Tuesday morning. And we get to see lots of new mums, new parents come in. They may be a little bit nervous or worried about their newborn baby. They want some help and advice and they don't know who to go to. Come into the library, talk with other mums, other families. We see so many people form really strong relationships and friendships just from coming into a social group that we've been hosting, which is completely free of charge as well. So it's really lovely for people to just come in and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, of course it is. And so, Bethan, what is it that you do day to day in the library there? What kind of things do you get involved in?
So many different things. I don't think I've ever done the same things every single day, every single week. We're very, very busy. I spend a lot of time working on the front inquiry desk. So we're there to help people, whether they're coming in for the first time to sign up for a library membership, if they've got any questions about any library books that we may have in stock, placing reservations. And as I said, a lot of clubs and activities. So there is so much going on in your local library, particularly at St Albans. We're very, very busy. So some recent clubs and activities that we do is, like I said, Baby Rhyme Time. We also do story time for preschool age children as well, which is very exciting.
What happens with the story? I mean, I'm guessing stories are involved.
We do indeed.
Paint the scene. So mums and toddlers would go in and what would happen?
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's very nice, very relaxed session. Mums, toddlers, preschool age children can come in. We'll sit down and read some lovely books to the children. They usually have a theme. So I believe coming up soon is Winnie the Pooh Day. So we will be looking at some books all around Winnie the Pooh, who is my favourite bear.
Even more favourite than Paddington, because actually you can hear the audience splitting.
I know. I do love Paddington Bear as well, but Winnie the Pooh was always my favourite. So I have to say he wins.
I mean, you're either a honey person or a marmalade person.
I'm more of a honey person, so I think I'd have to stick with Winnie the Pooh, but Paddington is adorable. We recently had a Paddington Day at the library.
Okay.
So Paddington came in for a visit.
Right.
If anybody checks out our Instagram, which is at St Albans Library UK, you can see Paddington coming in. He's reserved some books. He did actually find a book about marmalade as well, so he was learning to make his own.
Very good.
And Paddington got his very own library card, so he was very, very pleased with that. He had a lovely day.
Yeah. Did he meet any of the kids?
He didn't, unfortunately, no. He came in at a very quiet time.
Right.
But I'm sure he'll be back in the future to say hello to some of the children.
I'm sure. So what other kind of things have you got coming up? What sort of events are going to be drawing people in?
There are lots. I've got quite a long list in front of me, so sit tight.
Okay.
So some of the upcoming events that we have, I've just mentioned our regular events, which is Story Time. That's every Monday and every Saturday at 2:15. Baby Rhyme Time is every Tuesday at 10:15, 11:30 and 2:15. We've also got a brand new club that is starting this Friday, which is Lego Club. So this will be Friday afternoons from 4:30 until 5:30. Turn up to the library. We'll be doing some really cool Lego sessions. I believe our first week is all going to be space themed.
And this is building Lego, just to be clear. We're not talking about looking at books on how to build Lego. We're actually there with the little bits of
there will be actual books Lego. For you but, okay. to borrow, but yes, we will be getting hands-on, stuck in with the Lego. We encourage parents to come along with their children, get building, get creative, and that will be something that we will be running for the long term. Another event that we have coming up soon is called Page One. And Page One is a really, really exciting book-themed activity club. And this is going to be running for 4 weeks, starting from Wednesday, the 22nd of January. And our first theme is going to be Roald Dahl, which is a very, very famous children's author. I loved his stories growing up.
Favourite was?
James and the Giant Peach.
You think?
Yes, the film as well that went along with it. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I'm more of a Matilda kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah, I do love Matilda.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, anyway, back to the story.
Yes, so page one, like I said, we'll be doing lots of different crafts, activities. We'll be getting involved using our green screen. There'll be some quizzes as well. And that's for ages 7 to 11, so for primary school age children. Our next club, which is one of my favourites, which we have run before and it is award-winning, is our Young Filmmakers. So this will be running for 8 weeks, starting on the 26th of February. And children will be able to come in and use some really cool high-tech filming equipment to create their own short films.
Wow, including the famous green screen.
Famous green screen. Yep, we have some audio recordings as well. We can do some stop motion with the Lego that we created in our other clubs. It's very, very cool. A lot of children like to come in. It's been fully booked for the past couple of years. So if you are interested, I would pop along to the library sooner rather than later and reserve your spot, because that will be starting very, very soon. And that is for ages 8 to 12.
Bethan, I'm particularly impressed that you got such a wide range of activities going on. And am I right in thinking that you've got the people there at the library with all of those amazing skills to be able to work the 3D printer, to be able to work the audiovisual equipment, the green screen stuff? Do you have all of those skills in-house there?
We do, yeah. Our library staff are absolutely fantastic. They have got a world of knowledge. It's not just books that we know everything about. We have got people that are specially trained to use all of our high-tech equipment. We have some local history experts as well. So if you ever want to learn more about your heritage, maybe if you've lived in St Albans for a long time and you want to learn a little bit more about your past, you can come in and see us, use some of our equipment in the local history section. I'm trained to use all of the fun creative equipment. I'll be running Young Filmmakers this time, so pop in and we'll show you how it works.
That is amazing, because I think that a lot of listeners, including me, probably have a very out-of-date picture of what goes on in a library.
A lot of people do.
Basically a load of books. And there's one or two people sitting behind a desk looking very bored.
Yep.
And waiting to put a stamp on a book before you take it out. But it's not that at all anymore.
We don't even get to use the stamps anymore. It's all digital. My parents were very, very disappointed when I said that. They wanted to come in and see me stamping books. But no, we do so much more than that now. Libraries have really, really evolved over the past 10 or 20 years. And it's such a great space for the community, for those who maybe couldn't afford to go to some after-school clubs or anything like that. You want to try a new skill or maybe develop some current skills that you've had sat in the back of your wardrobe for many years. Come to the library. Come and see us. We can help you with pretty much everything. Even if you just want to know what the bus timetables are, we can still help you with that.
And do you know what I love about what you're saying, Bethan, is you're getting young children in from the early age. I was a Rhyme Time fan as well. I went there a very long time ago when my kids were just toddlers. But you're getting them in the door. You're getting them into a library environment from a very young age. It's genius. It's just fantastic to anchor families and communities in the local library.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important for children to come in and get involved with reading and literature. We even say that you can bring your newborn babies along to Baby Rhyme Time. They may not know all the words to row, row, row your boat, but they'll still be listening to mum and dad's voices. They'll get to know rhythms, rhyme, music, and it's so good for developing their literacy skills. And we see those newborn babies come in for years and they grow up and get much, much taller, much bigger, but they still have that love for reading. And it's such a rewarding thing to see that you can watch your community grow and develop. But yeah, keeping up those reading skills throughout school and beyond is so vital. And that's why libraries are so important for the community.
So I'm wondering as well, Bethan, whether you do anything for families with special needs, whether there are groups in the community that you reach out to and help particularly?
We do actually, yes. So following along from Baby Rhyme Time, we have a fantastic lady called Becca who comes into the library once a month to do a British Sign Language Rhyme Time.
Fabulous. So say to listeners what British Sign Language is.
So,
a bit of them say on the radio, but it's what does it involve? Does it involve also sort of signing and hand language for people that are deaf, right?
Yes, yes. For people who are deaf or hard of hearing,
right.
Becca goes through all of your famous nursery rhymes and songs, and she teaches the young children and their adults how to sign in BSL. She'll sometimes go through some of the Macton signs as well. So those who are developing their BSL skills, you can come along. Even if you don't have a child who is deaf or hard of hearing, you are more than welcome to attend. We call them Rhyme and Sign, which is once a month on a Wednesday, usually the last Wednesday of the month. And that's in the morning, so about 10:15. But yeah, it's just a really lovely way to make sure that everyone can come in and enjoy rhymes and enjoy stories. I've just about learned how to sign Old MacDonald, which is absolutely fantastic. Still haven't learned all of the animals yet, but we're getting there.
That's great. And so relevant, because I know that a lot of nursery schools these
yes.
days use Macton or sign-assisted speech with small children, whether or not they're hard of hearing, because it's
yes.
an easier way for some kids who are still getting to grips with articulation to be able to say what they want. And
yeah, we find sometimes children, if they maybe have some communication issues,
yep.
it's much easier for them to communicate with Macton or with BSL. So again, even if your child isn't deaf or hard of hearing, that doesn't mean that you can't attend one of our sessions.
Yes, that's fantastic that the library's doing all these things.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And how do you keep people informed of all the stuff that you're doing? Because there's so much going on.
Yeah, absolutely. We have lots of different ways to keep people up to date. We're very, very active on social media. So I mentioned earlier that we are on Instagram, which is at St Albans Library UK. We post lots of information about our upcoming clubs and activities. You'll also see library assistants sometimes behaving very, very silly. We make some really funny videos on there. Facebook as well, which is just St Albans Library. If you follow us on there, we're always posting about upcoming clubs and events. That covers all age groups, so we will post about our children's events, anything suitable for families and those for older people as well. So one example that I would like to mention, which is coming up, is our famous print and Prosecco and family jelly printing. So the print and Prosecco will be on Thursday, the 27th of February, and the family printing is on Saturday, the 1st of March. So if anybody's looking for date night and wants to leave the children at home for a couple of hours in the evening, come along to the library, grab yourself a glass of Prosecco and learn a new printing skill. And then the family printing will be great if anybody wants to come in on that weekend, get yourselves booked in. Tickets will be selling very, very quickly. So if you head to our Facebook page, that'll have the relevant links and it will tell you how to book.
And just before we let you go, Bethan, I think I know the answer because
yes.
I'm picking up your incredible passion and mm-hmm. energy for your job. But what is it that you love about working or you like about working at the St Albans Library?
So I've been actually working at the library for nearly 2 years now, and this has been the best job of my life. It's been so rewarding to get to meet and get to know members of the local community. I see lots of people coming in nearly every day to use the library, getting to do all of the really fun children's clubs and activities. I was an actor back at school and college, so I've been able to utilise my performing techniques, but it's so much fun and it's really, really fantastic to feel like I'm doing my bit to help the community. And it's just so lovely. Lots of people come in with big smiles on their faces. We see little children grow up and come in almost as young adults and still use the library. They get to know us. They always bring us some really nice chocolates and sweets at Christmas time. And it's just so nice to know that even now libraries are still appreciated and needed.
Fantastic. And so say again, Bethan, where the library is in St Albans, and also how people can find out a little bit more. What's the best website to go to see what's going on?
So the best website to find out more information would be the Hertfordshire Library's website. There will be a section that says events and things to do. You can also register for your library membership online and then pop into your local library to pick up a free library card. The St Albans Central Library is located in the Monting Shopping Centre up on level 2. So if you're in on a weekend, maybe having a quick mooch around TK Maxx, just pop across the other side and you'll see us there.
Fabulous.
Bethan, thank you so much for joining us on The Parents Show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
We'll take a quick break now on The Parents Show on Mix 92.6.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
So welcome back to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. It's great to have you with us again.
I'm Lydia El-Khoury, and I'm really thrilled and delighted to be joined by our new presenter on The Parents Show, Vivian Glass, who's here in the studio with me today. Hi, Vivian.
Hi, Lydia.
We're so happy to have you join the team. Thanks a million for jumping on board.
Oh, I'm really excited to start, Lydia. I think it's such a fantastic show, so I'm really thrilled to be part of it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So listen, tell us a bit about yourself. Tell us, where do you live? What do you do? And let our listeners get a feeling for our brand new presenter.
Well, I am obviously Scottish, my origin, as you can tell from the accent, but been living in this area for about 12 years now with my husband. He's also Scottish. We really love the area. We've got a 9-year-old. So we are sort of put within the primary school age bracket of parent experience. We live in the area. We've been involved in different aspects of activities, you know, all the kids groups that we've got such a lot of choice of in this area, and just really enjoy it. Yeah. So that's a little bit about my background. I suppose from a career point of view, I come from the jewellery background, so I had a bit of a lifetime of being able to enjoy travelling the world and looking at supply chains and understanding all about that. So, and it's, I suppose that's set me up for a real love of learning, and I'm just curious to learn and to hear other points of view, and you know, that's what I'm looking forward to most about joining the show.
Now, I have to apologise. I've got the winter lurgy, so that's why I sound even more clogged up than normal. So excuse me, anybody who's listening in. But that's fascinating. Jewellery. What a brilliant, what a really interesting business to be in.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's really been, you know, a long-term career. So I studied at an art school and learned silversmithing and jewellery and, you know, all the practical stuff. And then I went into the business as head of design for a manufacturing company, for a product, you know, a commercial company, and kind of cut my teeth there. And then I had my own brand. And from there, it sort of evolved into me then sort of supporting other brands with their supply chain and very specialist slant on sustainability, really. So that's been what I've been focused on doing. And then most recently, Lydia, I've been able to really enjoy my passion as a ballet teacher. So I'm also teaching adult ballet fitness in Harpenden. So I do that twice a week as well. And that's been a really lovely thing to do. It's just the most fantastic classes. And I'm really, really fun, really, really lucky.
I bet there are parents listening in going, ballet classes for adults. You know, it's like we're so focused on finding the perfect combination of after school extracurricular activities for our kids. Quite often we forget about ourselves. So that's amazing that there are ballet classes out there for us lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice thing because it's ballet fitness. So you don't need to have come from a classically trained background. You know, if you just want to do something for fitness that's very, I suppose it's very feminine, and it just gives you that space to just really do something very beautiful, but also it's really, really efficient way of exercising. So I find it brilliant to, you know, when you're a bit time poor, to just be able to blast it out. It's called a ballet boot camp. So it's a kind of full-on session. We work through everything, and, you know, we kind of work through all the parts top to toe. And it's been really, really nice to see people enjoying it and get results.
Brilliant. Oh, that sounds like, it sounds like great fun. I always thought of all the dance kind of options, probably ballet is the one that I'm least likely to be designed to do. But that's great that you're saying you don't need a background. You don't need experience in ballet.
No, you really don't. You know, I've got people that have never really done any dancing
at all. And I've got people that have done a little bit, or they've done maybe a bit of ballet when they were younger. But no, it's something that, you know, you can really get involved in. It's quite accessible. So the way I do it is, you know, I break it all down into small movements. But the big thing that people always think about is, oh, you have to be very elegant, or you have to be this, or you have to be this shape. And you really don't, you know. The whole point of ballet, the whole kind of structure of the movements and of the exercises, that it teaches you that control and that elegance. And once you engage the right muscles and you know how to do that, then suddenly those movements become much more natural and fluid and all of those things that you associate with ballet. But nobody's, I don't think, born with that ability. It's very learned. And it really, you know, you see people of all, you know, heights, shapes, sizes. And, you know, some of the lines that I see in the class are just beautiful. And, you know, sometimes I wish I could replay it to them and let them see just how gorgeous they look when they're, you know, in positions, or when they're stretching and just doing different things. It's really lovely. It's really rewarding.
Oh, my God, that's music to my ears. You might be getting a new classmate. I might sign up, because I thought, yeah, me and ballet would be like trying to teach an elephant, you know, but that's really reassuring what you've said, Vivian. And so, I mean, listeners might not know, but the Parents Show is actually 14 years old now. We've been going for quite a while. And over those years, we've covered so many topics, and I don't think we've covered everything. I think there's still material out there to be covered. And I'm pretty sure, Vivian, you're going to help us dig around and see what things we need to cover, because the idea behind the show really was for us as parents to help other parents find the best people to speak to about all different topics, whether they're mental health, well-being, extracurricular activities, approaches to schools. There's nothing that's really off topic for us. We're particularly fond of the topic of menopause, because I think it impacts every family at some point or another, almost every family, because it's a big transition, and it's a kind of a turbulent transition, speaking from my own experience. Other people sail through it, and I'm very glad that they do. But are there topics that you're interested in bringing to the show? Can we get a taster of what you're interested in?
I think for me, Lydia, the million-dollar question is, how does a product of 1980s parenting, you know, survive and thrive in 21st century and the demands that it brings? You know, that's like the million-dollar question to me, because, I come from a semi-rural part of Scotland. You know, there wasn't a huge amount of activities on offer. Boredom featured pretty regularly. But then again, so did a lot of freedom. So it's a very different childhood now, I think, that our children are experiencing, to certainly that which myself and my husband. And I think the other thing is, you know, obviously you're not originally local either. And, you know, we're in the same situation where we're very much reliant on our peer group for that kind of instantaneous advice and feedback and reflection. And I think, you know, anybody that's thinking about parenting and sort of questioning themselves and interested with the curiosity to explore, you know, am I doing the best job, I suppose, that I could do? Am I making the right choices for my child? I think, you know, is worth listening to and worth understanding, because there's a lot of pressure to kind of get it right. And I don't think there's a perfect solution to any of this. I think we're all kind of, you know, muddling through.
And I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I'm so lucky that I've got some, you know, a network of women who are supportive and kind and wise. And that's so valuable, because we don't have our extended family on the doorstep. We do have very affectionate extended family, but it's not the same as having people kind of right beside you that you can just say, you know, when they're ill or something, you know, is this normal? Or I'm thinking of this about the school. What do you think about, you know, X, Y, or Z? And just being able to have that sort of local perspective, I think, is hugely valuable, and have a community around that.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't. And like you say, our childhood was so different. And I think a lot of us are trying to kind of not give them the same childhood, not give our children the same childhood we had, which I think is a mistake. Like you say, no approach is perfect. You know, I've got a 16-year-old who always forgets his keys. I mean, and I tell him regularly that I was going to school with my keys from the age of 8. You know, never mind 16 and forgetting it. And he loves it when I say that. I'm sure he does, Vivian. He loves it when I remind him. But yeah, it's very different. And you said a great word, like boredom. Boredom is good. Boredom's okay. You know, we not the extent maybe that we had it as kids, but, you know, a little bit of boredom is okay. And I think kids don't get to experience that much anymore.
Well, again, you know, my husband and I both have been in the creative, you know, both come from creative backgrounds, creative industries. And I think in no small part that was a product of the boredom of our childhood, because you were forced to really find ways. You know, imaginary play was really important, and, you know, being able to create something out of nothing really, and actually, you know, think about that sort of ways to find things to play with and things to do. So I think you're right. I think it is actually quite valuable. But on the other hand, you know, I do remember at times when there were things that I would have loved to have learned. So, you know, we are so lucky here. We've got, you know, so many different choices. I mean,
amazing.
You know, we've done gymnastics, fencing, football, rugby, tennis, swimming, you know, and that's just in 1 week. So exciting to have those chances, you know, to have all these different experiences and to learn. So I think that's brilliant. And I really enjoy being able to live in this area and tap into all of those and you know, have access for our child to be able to do those. But then on the other side of it, I see that sometimes that produces a bit of performance anxiety, or a bit of, you know, perhaps that need to achieve all the time. You don't really get that downtime in the same way, you know, and there's always this sort of, you need a reward or you need a kind of recognition. So, you know, without wanting to create a sort of league of narcissists, really, that are entirely reliant on external validation. So there's a real balance. So these are the sorts of little nooks and crannies that I'm interested in exploring and in looking at how, you know, we can kind of get the balance right, I suppose. Tapping into all the brilliant stuff we've got going on, but also getting the balance right to allow them to kind of emerge, you know, in a peaceful way and in a balanced way as well.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't have put it better. That's absolutely, I completely agree, Vivian. And you also put it really nicely when you said nobody has all the answers. Like, not one answer is completely correct, and one person doesn't really know everything. And that's why it's great to get the opportunity to speak to anybody and everybody that we're interested in, to try and put the pieces of the puzzle together and try and build a picture for ourselves.
Absolutely. And one thing I love about being in this area is the diversity that we have of different experiences as well, you know, cultural experiences, different backgrounds. You know, I think that's so enriching, you know, for me to understand. And different, you know, kids are different, aren't they? I mean, you know, no two children are the same, even within the same family, you know, siblings. So you've got all of those different. So being able to actually understand it from other people's points of view, and maybe the hows and whys and the questions that they come up with, and, you know, the sorts of challenges that different people experience, I think fascinating and worth the conversation and worth exploring. So, yeah, I'm excited to start.
Brilliant, brilliant. So we will be kicking off in just a couple of weeks with your first interviews, and we're looking forward to many, many more, Vivian. And it's wonderful to meet you properly and wonderful to have you join the Parents Show. Thanks a million.
Oh, I'm so excited to start, Lydia, and it's an absolute pleasure. I'm looking forward to getting to know the listeners and to getting to know, you know, the different the different participants around the radio show, and just really get started.
Awesome. Thanks a million, Vivian.
Thanks so much, Lydia. Great to talk to you, and feel better soon.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Archie.
And I'm Dylan. And this is our segment of The Parents Show, where we will be discussing the positives and negatives of social media.
Joining us in the studio today, we have three students from the local area. It's David.
Hi, guys.
Imogen.
Hello.
And Cara.
Hi.
So, guys, social media, what do you think about it?
I think social media is very effective in helping people build confidence, especially with me. When I was younger, I lacked a lot of confidence, but as I got older, my confidence improved due to the people I met on social media.
I think social media is important to connect and see what's going on in other countries as well. And it gives people the chance to like share their creative views and opinions.
I think social media is very good for seeing what goes on in the world. But I think there's also a dangerous side to it, as you can easily become addicted and constantly watch videos, which can also impact your life outside of social media.
Some very interesting points there. Moving on, how would you say social media impacts your school life?
I would say that it's a lot easier to find videos to help with my education and to help with revision online now, because all you need to do is search and like it comes up straight away. And I think I use it quite a lot for that now.
Yeah, adding on to what Imogen said, I feel like with social media, you have like a wider scope to see, you know, other people study techniques, and it's easier to get advice. And especially if you do like art subjects, like for me personally, I do textiles. So it's a lot easier to see inspiration from previous pieces that you may not have access to.
Yeah, I completely agree. I also think it helps you build yourself as a more interesting person, because obviously if something's been talked about on social media, it gives you your own opinion, and now you're able to share yours with others.
Thank you very much, guys. Moving away from education, how do you say social media impacts your everyday lives?
I would say I use it all the time, to text people, to stay in contact, and also just to look at what is going on in the world and keep up to date with like new trends and everything like that.
I think it's extremely helpful, especially because right now my mother's away, so it's really good for trying to keep contact with her, and as well as obviously helping us connect with others. It's great.
I think for me personally, I find that I can find myself a little bit distracted on certain social media apps. So I think it's important to get the balance. But as the others say, I still think it's really important to keep in contact for those that you may not be close to as much.
Would you say these impacts vary over different platforms like TikTok and Instagram?
Yeah, personally, I'm not a huge fan of TikTok. I don't use it that much anymore. But I think it's still quite helpful for contextual knowledge. But also, I don't really use it. It's not a very good app for socializing with others, I feel. It's very much more keeps people enclosed in their own personal space.
I think it really depends on which social media app that you use. For instance, like TikTok, it's like there's a lot more different effects to that than also Instagram. So I think it's really getting the balance. I mean, me personally, I don't have TikTok, but I do have Instagram, and I find myself getting distracted quite a lot on it.
Yeah, as well, I don't have TikTok. I only have Instagram. But I'd say lots of people in our year are on Instagram, and they're constantly posting, you constantly see what people are doing. Whereas TikTok, it's more videos from just people you don't know as much, and it can become really, really addictive just constantly watching different videos.
So based on what you've said, how do you feel about TikTok potentially shutting down in the USA? And do you think that will impact what is posted on other platforms? And how do you think it will impact your usage of social media?
I think with TikTok going in America, it will lead to an increased usage on other social media apps like X and Instagram, but also, you know, we'll probably see like a rising prominence of other apps to replace TikTok. So I think we'll see that. I mean, for obviously it being banned in America doesn't have too much of an effect on the UK, apart from maybe that American TikTok and the videos that come from there will be which are unable to be accessed anymore.
I feel similar, but also I see that TikTok is one of the major streaming sites, and America's over 60% of their audience, so it'll probably affect them quite drastically. But that might also affect other countries, as a lot of streamers and content makers are obviously American, which could obviously affect other people using the app. So I see TikTok will probably fall, but other apps will become more dominant.
I don't think it's going to really impact my social media usage. I'll just carry on, like, do what I did before, I think.
David, I know you've been a direct victim of the dark side of social media. What was that experience like, and has it had an impact on how you use social media now?
So, my TikTok account got hacked. Primary reason for that is probably my use of using the same password and everything. But I wasn't never really using it that much before, and I was unable to stop it as it happened while I was at school, and TikTok doesn't really let you get your account back at all. But seeing it get taken from me has made me see the perspective change, and I tend to use it less now, and I haven't decided to remake an account. which I think has helped me focus on other stuff more.
Right, let's move on. A story that's been in the news a lot recently is the decision by Meta to abandon fact checkers. Do you think this will impact how you use social media?
For me, I don't think it really will have much an effect, but I think we'll see an increase on like social media apps of posts and videos that are going to be increasingly harmful because people aren't going to be aware of whether or not this is true or not. So although it won't affect me, I think it will affect a lot of other people, particularly in maybe countries where knowledge is restricted.
Yeah, I agree. Me personally, I'm not going to really get affected by that. I will probably keep on using social media the same amount. But yeah, it'll probably be more harmful for other people.
Yeah, I would agree on that. I believe that with the spread of false information, a lot of people will retweet and repost this false information, making it worse for probably bigger people and bigger organisations. But personally, I don't feel it'll have a big effect on me.
Now, just to close, let's hear your thoughts on the future and how do you hope that social media will change for the better? Let's start with you, Imogen.
For me, I don't think social media needs to change. I think it's how people use social media which needs to change. People should restrict themselves on how much they use it as it's very addictive, and they should also make sure that the content they're seeing is not harmful, and parents should also look after their kids and what the videos they're seeing to protect them.
Yeah, I think Amy summed it up really nicely. I think it's more people's actions on the apps and parents' responsibility, as well as like regulating what the child uses and how they're using it. But I do also think that some social media apps really do have to go over their safety regulations to try and prevent harmful content for children who are really young, and that could really impact them or their views.
Yeah, I completely agree with the others, but my main focus would probably be the security aspect. Obviously, I lost my account, which is partly my fault, but it was also very hard to get in contact with anyone in TikTok about it. So I think there could be an improvement there.
Right, very interesting. Thanks to all of our guests, Imogen, Cara and David.
Thank you for having us.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.